Hello and welcome to the Spurb OST audio commentary that is not nearly as professionally put forth as I seem to be pretending it is right now. Okay, my name's Mark. I go by Shadolith. In here we've got Scott.
Hey, I'm Scott or Veritasune.
And Charlie.
Hey, I'm Charlie. I go by Crazy8.
And Koneko.
Hey, I'm Con. That was short. Okay.
Now, Mark, you said it's not professionally produced, but I mean, come on, there are like less professionally produced commentaries out there.
Well, whatever. Anyway,
I mean, look at the Jailbreak commentary. Oh, burn.
Okay. So let's get started.
I'm just kidding. I love that commentary.
Spurbo ST, you can take a look at our commentary booklet for individual commentaries from the artists. This is just us talking about it while it plays, like, seems to be the trend. So let's go ahead and get started.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
And is it starting, or...?
It's starting, just waiting for...
I thought that was supposed to be... Oh, there we go, yeah.
I'm live streaming it, so it's...
This song is so good.
Yeah. So this is, Waiting for Adventure, the loading screen theme by Michael Bowman. This was, it's been a while since this whole project started, so there's a lot that can be said. Let's see, this was, I don't know, it's a good song. Michael's a really great musician.
It's echoing.
Yeah, it's okay.
Yeah, if it echoes, just mute the live stream, dude.
That's gonna sound really awkward in the commentary.
Well,
it's not gonna show off.
It's not echoing through my recording, at least.
Oh, whoops.
Yeah.
Okay.
This is like the third version of a loading screen theme that Bowman's done.
Yeah, it's gone through a bunch of iterations.
It's the companion to Suburban and another jungle, I guess.
Yeah.
This one was actually something that he wrote.
Wasn't the story that he originally submitted another jungle?
Yeah, he originally submitted another jungle to us.
Yeah, it was originally going to be another jungle, and then that turned out to be going on Volume 9, so we couldn't use it.
Well, no, it was originally used in House Trapped, and I was like,
we wanted to have
something
original, so he ended up writing that for us.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that too.
Anyway,
but
this...
House Trapped never actually put out an album, so I guess my...
He repurposed it.
I shrugged.
Oh, wait, hold on. We actually talked over the ending to it. What's next?
This is Suburban Prelude, the main menu theme for Spurb.
Yeah,
by Sidewalk Banana.
Who's this by again? Oh, yeah, Sidewalk Banana.
Yeah.
This is really good.
Yeah, it's cool. Mm.
I remember when I first heard, like, the first full version that Alex posted, I wasn't really that impressed. I mean, I love it, but it didn't really stand out that much. But this version right here, this is really good.
Yeah, an interesting thing about this song is that this, along with a few other songs on the album, had a bit of touching up done after we really emphasized the point that we wanted to make this a totally original album with where any callbacks to existing Homestuck songs would be very, very subtle, and basically this one had it quoted the Spurban Jungle ostinato quite a lot, it was cool, but after a while we kind of decided that you know, we wanted to have callbacks be really minimal, because. Yeah. You know, the whole story behind the Spurb OST was that it's supposed to be a soundtrack, sort of a catch-all soundtrack for every possible session of Spurb or any other name
Not so much every possible session, more like your typical session, I guess.
Sure, a typical
some sort of like, we've got a bunch of general, if it were to be released as like, a game sort of thing.
Yeah,
if it were to be released as like a game that you get the CD for, and like it has a sound, like a generic soundtrack encoded on that disc.
It's
basically it's like it's like the soundtrack to the troll session up to where Jack started wrecking everyone's shit.
Yeah, pretty much. Just a typical Spurb session. The kind of thing you'd hear, you know, it's not specific to any one session.
Well, most sessions are kind of fucking weird anyways from what we've seen.
Yeah, this is for the stuff that is in every session, basically.
Mm. Yeah, well, we also have, like, later on, themes for stuff that's pretty specific.
Well, we believe it's specific.
Like the Green Sun.
Sure.
Green Sun. That's...
So the Green Sun's pretty much common to every session, right? I mean, now that
I
guess it's true.
The Green Sun is what powers the first Guardians, and as far as we know, every universe has a first Guardian.
Guys, question really quick.
Will.
Mm-hmm.
Why are they called first Guardian if they don't really guard anything? They just sort of wreck shit?
I think it's supposed to guard, like, the planet. Like, yeah.
Seems to me like they guard stuff.
It for the arrival of
Spurb.
Of its players. And
I guess that makes sense.
I guess Beck didn't really do anything because he's a dog. I mean, he's a dog.
Well, G-Cat was like,
G-Cat was under, like, mind control or some shit, so yeah.
We still haven't really seen what G-Cat's doing.
Like, Beck also protected.
Yeah,
Jade.
Beck was very Guardian-like.
Yeah, and then you get Doc Scratch. He's like, I guess he was technically a Guardian, but
he was a Guardian, but he was under Mellish's rule.
Yeah. Oh, hold on. Are we on the next song?
No. It's like a two-part song. This one. It has like.
Oh, what?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. We're maybe two-thirds of the way through right now.
Yeah.
I forgot. That really shocked me. A lot of the songs on this album are really long.
Yeah, this one's 6.5 minutes.
Oh.
Wait till you get to the 11-minute song.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
And here I thought the Khan songs were going to be the longest. Boy, was I wrong.
Well,
they're among the longest, but still.
Yeah.
Yeah, Mark's is the longest, followed by Endgame Execution, I think, which is my...
It's followed by the winning the game theme. Not Higher Hopes.
Winning the Gods of the New World?
Yeah, it's followed by that. That's
7:20.
Yeah.
Endgame Execution is like 9 minutes.
Oh, it is? I thought was 6 minutes.
Endgame Execution is 8 minutes and 50 seconds, so...
Oh, okay. Yeah. Then I guess I was wrong for everyone to hear forever.
Congratulations,
it's okay.
You're...
We don't expect you to memorize the time.
Yeah.
Your wrongness has been immortalized. Anyway, let's talk a little bit about the application for this song. This is basically it's the main menu theme. It's like you pop in the disc and main menu pops up. You've got some options.
Screen, right? I mean,
we've got some really great art from was it Run Double Run who did the art for this?
Yeah,
Run Double Run was great. Wait. Was there ever really a main menu for the Spurg? I mean, after the loading screen,
sort of
it just sort of
implying.
No main menu that we saw. It was just it was pretty much just a...
I wish there was a main menu. That would be
It was
cool.
Like a terminal window command line. But this is... Again, we're kind of extrapolating here. This is our idea of a really polished Spurg, you know?
Oh, man. You know what we should have
made?
Maybe
more like...
We should have made a save select theme.
Actually, you know...
Oh.
Everyone,
we can use the options menu theme for that. I mean,
that's
true.
Every version of Spurb we've seen, and basically there was the Spurb beta, there was the Spurb alpha, and then there was Scrub, which was put together by Solix, so who the hell would expect that to look very polished?
So it's basically a bootleg.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, it was a bootleg Spurb.
So let's just pretend.
Wait, guys, shut up, it's the next song.
Yes, it is. Also,
yeah, it's the option theme.
Yes, this is Meta Choice's option theme, also by Sidewalk Banana.
This is the best song by him on this album.
I agree.
I really like this song.
I love his drums in this one. They're so great. They're so like...
That's not really saying that like all the songs by him are like
horrible.
This is the only good one. No, all the songs by him are really good.
They're all good. This
talented.
One's just the best.
Yeah, it's just the best.
Yeah,
Will.
But anyway, to conclude my point I was making... this soundtrack is basically for let's say, the final version of Spurb after, you know, the final
release. After they've ironed out all the bugs.
Yes, exactly. After they've consulted the Spurb glitch FAQ that the beta testers have put together.
They've finished the patch notes. Wait, I hope it doesn't take as long to come out as the full version of Spurb OSG. I'm just kidding. I'm glad we took our time with this, actually, because otherwise we would have had some really shitty sounding ones.
Mm.
Well, I mean, look at the version of the main menu. Mm-hmm. When we wanted to get it out, it wasn't nearly as polished.
Yeah.
So in the long run,
Anyway, though, I'm looking at Run Double Run's artwork here. The main menu, let's see, it's got the options of host server, join server, connection test, options, and abscond, which I believe is the Spurb version of quit. The option thing we put together, it's got a music slider, sound effect slider. You did a really great job putting this together. It looks like something from a game. Clear data, quality low, medium, high. I guess maybe it's running in Flash. And reckoning damage. Low, medium, high.
I always thought the reckoning damage, like being able to modify how much damage it did. Hilarious idea. It's like,
That was
really
good.
What I really love is that the apocalyptic option has a little asterisk next to it, and underneath it, it says requires Spurb Gold account.
Yes.
Yeah. So I love this artwork that he put together for that.
I love the artwork for the song that comes up next.
Yes, Tesla did a great job.
Yeah,
I mean, I guess while we're talking about like the option screen and stuff, obviously, we sort of started with the idea that it was going to be for a generic session, but to help the artist, we decided to contextualize it as if it were the musicians playing the session.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah, we did that.
Because some people were finding it a bit difficult to sort of not narrow down what exactly was happening in some of the things. And some of them are a bit hard, like Strife. How do you represent Strife?
Yeah, exactly.
How do you draw like the early game theme like without a character in it? Do you just draw someone ripping out a toilet?
See, my original original suggestion was that they just draw some really like maybe some silhouettes or some generic looking characters, but then I started thinking, you know, why would we make all these artists come up with a character per piece of artwork when we have, you know, we can just do a self-insert thing and have set characters. So our ultimate decision here was that the artwork for this was going to have depictions of the musician that made the song, if of course the context of the song required that a character be in view.
Yeah, that was pretty much it.
Because it ended up like sometimes, because I wrote the land of space and frogs, but I'm not a space player. I wasn't the space player. That was Traken.
Mm-hmm.
So it has both of us in there, even though I'm highlighted and like Traken's in the background.
Yeah,
this also becomes relevant when we get to do the fight further, because we are fighting Typhus. I mean, we are playing Typhus, but neither of us is a bad player.
Yeah.
Kind of weird.
Yeah, well, you know.
Yeah, definitely check out the art commentary for it, because it's
hilarious. Oh, wait, doesn't this, aren't we still doing OST Stuck or OS Stuck?
OS Stuck, a lot of details of that are going to be different, right? So.
This actually helps, Scott, you just mentioned,
next song. Oh, it's the best song.
Here comes Ignorance is Bliss by me.
Hey, fun fact. Mark, you use Animal Crossing drums.
I did. I went into the... I grabbed an Animal Crossing ROM from the internet, from Animal Crossing Wild World, downloaded it, opened it up in VGM Trans, and extracted the sound bank for one of the outside themes. And I used the sound bank to sequence the drums for this. The rest of it... Well, most of the song... Let's see. it's using most of the stuff is from Symphonic Orchestra, which I don't actually own, and I've stopped using it since this.
Wait, you don't actually own? Wait, which Symphonic Orchestra type thing?
Oh, it's East West Quantum Leap Symphonic Orchestra.
Say what?
East West Quantum Leap Symphonic Orchestra.
Oh yes.
Yeah, it's expensive. I pirated it a while ago. I've never used it to actually, you know, for profit. This is a free album, so that's why I used it. But anyway, xylophone, glockenspiel, and bass clarinet, I think. Did I
have accordion too? You put accordion in there.
Well, no, there is accordion, but that's not from Symphonic Orchestra.
That is
actually the only other thing from the Animal Crossing sound bank. The accordion in here is, yeah, from Animal Crossing.
Oh, right. You also, you quote the Homestuck theme in this.
Yes, I do quote the Homestuck theme in this, and I think that this is the only pretty blatant, one of the only pretty blatant callbacks to Homestuck.
Oh, wait, next song.
Oh, God.
Wait, what?
Okay.
Are you okay?
This song is by Scott, and me to an extent.
Yeah.
Scott, why don't you tell the story?
Well, So I wrote the first half of the song, and I was like, yeah, this is really cool, and I thought, like, I added in sort of some pseudo-glitchy aspects of it, but I was like, you know, to take this to the next level, we really should glitch it up a bit, and I gave it to someone more talented than
gave
me,
who
had access to the programs, so I gave it to Mark, and he glitched the hell out of it. Like, legitimately, the second half of the song is just the same first half of the song.
Yeah, so basically, you're hearing Scott's glitchy composition right now. I'll be honest, by the time I was finished, like, you're not hearing any of my glitching quite yet. By the time I was finished with my half of this song, just glitching it, is it coming out? No, it's still going.
It's after this.
By the time I finish it, I was in tears laughing because I put it through so much just warping and just, I crushed it, and it's okay. Here we go.
Yeah,
it's glorious. Let's just say that it is glorious.
It's been a while since I've heard this.
Because I was like, you know, like sprites when they start out, when you just prototype it for the first time, they're glitchy as all hell, and you can't understand a thing they're saying. So I was like, you know, yeah, let's you know, glitch it a lot.
Yeah, I glitched
and
it
Mark
a lot.
Delivered.
Yeah, pretty much. Wait, by the way, guys, how long are we intending this commentary to be?
As long as the album.
Like, the whole album?
Yep.
Oh, boy.
Come on, Cone, it's for the album, you can stay up.
That wasn't the point, it's just that it's gonna be like, what, a few hours? 2.8 hours.
This is gonna be a long commentary.
I mean, anyone actually gonna sit through 2.8 hours of us snacking about
Yeah. You know what? If you make it to the end of this, I owe you a high five.
Wait, the real question is this: how is that going to fit on Bandcamp?
maybe we can distribute it. Oh wait, well no, I don't know.
We could do a few things. We could chop
it
up.
Yeah, we can just put this.
I could just include a link to it on the website.
Yeah, that sounds like a good idea.
That too.
All right.
Anyway,
that's the end of that. Now we've got,
Imbrog.
Dawn of the End, which is the it's the theme for basically as soon as you realize there's a countdown clock
and there's a giant meteor heading.
This giant meteor is bearing down on you. Basically, we've got two pre-medium songs, Ignorance is Bliss, which you heard, and then the countdown theme, which happens
you're
no longer blissfully ignorant.
You have three technically if you count metaphoric choices.
Well, that's more of a, it's not really, I don't know, whatever. You get the point. So yeah, who did this one?
Imbrog.
Right.
Imbrog, more like the most incredibly talented guy.
Yeah, it's really odd.
He is really cool.
I like how the song is basically like split into three parts.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I really like how it, not only that, but it also has that suburban jungle feel without copying the source material at all. It's that sort of.
Here's a funny thing though.
Actually, I think the pizzicato strings he bought from Yes, it's the percussion part to Umbral Ultimatum.
Yes, the, yeah.
Oh, yes.
Wait, man.
He really subtly referenced Umbral Ultimatum with the percussion.
Yes, you know the pizzicato string in the second segment? Yeah.
Yeah, it comes in the second.
Yeah. I just second realized segment. Something that's really cool. The fact that there's three segments to the entire song, it's kind of like how there's three, you know, there's the Alchemator, there's the Crookstrader, and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's basically like, you hit the Crookstrader, the first part of the song starts, you head to the thing where you put the card in, the second part starts, and then you get the pre-prototype item, I mean, what am I even saying?
The punch card.
The entry item, yeah. And the third part starts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's pretty cool, so, I didn't even think about it.
You can hear here, there's some pizzicato strings in here that are playing the similar notes to the percussion part from Umbral Ultimatum.
Yeah.
That sort of oriental percussion kind of sound.
Oh, I didn't even realize that.
Yeah, that's what that is.
Can I also just mention that the second part really reminds me of Kingdom Hearts for some reason?
Hmm.
It's the flutes.
It's what?
I can tell what you're saying. I'm trying to think of what exactly it is that reminds it of Kingdom Hearts.
I think it's a piano. Yoko Shimomura likes to do that thing where the piano jumps around a lot.
I can hear that, yeah.
Okay, Mark, we've got like a bit of time before this song ends. You want to go back to what you were saying about Ostak before?
What was I saying before? I can't remember.
It was talking about something I mentioned, and yeah.
Hmm.
You'll go back and listen to it, and you'll be like, ah, I know what I wanted to say there now.
Yeah, oh well. Such is the nature of conversation.
Yeah.
Well, the thing about OS Stuck is, you mentioned it was a self-insert, but it's really the biggest self-insert ever because we literally all become gods.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yes,
it's just, it's
true.
Mary Sue, the story.
It's up for debate whether we all go god here, though. I mean, it's not necessarily a thing that has happened.
Well, the last song is called Gods of the New World, so make your own assumptions.
I remember what I was going to say. We were talking about fitting this on Bandcamp. We're not actually distributing this through Bandcamp. We're just having it on Bandcamp for streaming, so we can put this in the torrent.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because this is going to be a pretty much a torrent-only album, and
yeah.
I guess however else people want to share it.
Spirit of Conversation.
Oh, God.
Charlie and me bro fisting, basically, in a song.
And then
bro
me at the end.
I didn't do any good production for it. It sounds so quiet.
Well,
but it's somber. It's nice. I think it works.
Yeah, I guess so. It does work, I guess. I like the Yobo part I wrote.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It was, yeah.
Yeah, there we go. That's really nice.
Mm.
So anyways... The idea behind the song was, well, you're in the medium, and your sprite has to talk to you. I'm like, I guess I should write a song for talking to the sprite. And that was basically the whole idea.
But
I really had, like, this whole... The whole idea for the whole feel of it was, like, you're talking to Nana Sprite, and it has, like, I'm tripping over my own words. The inspiration came from Mark Hadley's Nanaquin. It sounds really old-timey and just European-ish, and that kind of inspired me.
Mm.
Yes.
I just have to say, what a doxographic... Graphist? A doxographist. Did for this. I was going to cry because I was like...
Yes.
Yeah! This is just a story, Sprite, why you leave me?
Veritas really loves his OC.
Really, all the art for this album is like really, really good.
All the art is amazing.
Go check out the commentary booklet, guys.
Go check it out.
Oh, hey.
What's up?
What's next?
Oh,
this bit right here. At the very end, I recorded a little bit of accordion. Upon request.
Yeah, I asked.
So that was my involvement in this song.
And didn't Imbrog record the piano?
Yeah, he did. Imbrog recorded the piano, and it came out beautifully.
I agree.
Thanks again, Imbrog.
Imbrog is a great pianist.
Imbrog isn't here.
All right.
All right, so now we got the build theme.
Yep, 11 minutes.
So, yeah, this is an 11-minute song. This is the longest song on the album, for good reason.
It's beautiful.
I'll go ahead and talk about it. This is another one of my songs. Let's see, where do I begin? Well, as you can hear right here, this section of the song was made using entirely sounds from Animal Crossing Wild World. Which, you know, you can see a trend here. I like that game. but yeah, it's a really, really simple, simple lo-fi sounding bit of music. The basic idea for this is the building theme. It's called Layers Upon Layers. Theme for when you're building up to the gates. This is the gate one section. My basic idea was to do a sort of song that would evolve over time and have different, like, very, very discernible different sections for building up to each different gate. And I was inspired largely by things like the map screen theme from... I was from Yoshi's Island.
Was it Yoshi?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It came out to be a bit different, because in Yoshi's Island, it's mostly building upon instruments that are already there, but whereas this one was very... each section is very different and uses entirely different instruments.
I miss the robot voices you had in between the sections.
I had some robot voices in here that were announcing the gates,
changes.
But I don't know. Personally,
like,
I thought it was a little
five,
bit weird.
And it sounded really cool.
Gate 5.
Oh, yeah. So this section right here was made by Harmonizer, who you've probably seen around Tumblr if you are a Homestuck fan on Tumblr.
Or if you listen to the band Sharpened Out.
That too.
Sharpened Out is it's Harmonizer's band with another person.
Isn't it Stab Something?
Yeah, oh, Stab Something.
Something. Yeah,
so dumb.
I was confused there.
That's
yeah.
Another immortalized dumb moment. I'm like filling this entire commentary up with dumbness.
It will be
yeah, Stab Something. Hold sorry, Sharpened Out is the name of one of the songs I really like that's by Stab Something.
Ah. Yeah, so Harmonizer did I think three things for this. This is sort of a collaboration between me and her. Is this the same, like...
Yeah, it's still the same one.
This is still
changed,
gate two. Okay.
Yeah, it's gate two.
Yeah. So basically, I had put together a bunch of stuff, but we were kind of in a time crunch at one point where we were just trying to get all of our songs finished, so I ended up asking her to help me finish it up. So she did gates 2, 3, and 4.
And you did 1, 5. Well, you already had 1, 5, and 7, and you just needed to finish off 6 where you had the violin idea.
Yes, six. Gate 6 turned out really interestingly. You'll hear it. Eventually.
Gate 6 was really good.
Over the course of this 11-minute period.
There's 3.
Yes, this is gate 3 now. As you can hear, it's getting a little bit more,
electronic.
Well, no, a little bit more intense, just really subtly. Definitely more heavy than the initial really lighthearted sounding Animal Crossing bit in gate 1.
I have to say, my favorite gate is 5. It's always been 5, and I really like 5, but I'm not sure why.
While the production now is kind of below my standards in retrospect, because, you know, I made this a year ago, gate 5's percussion, I worked really hard to get that to sound how it sounds, and I'm still pretty proud of that. It was really, really heavily inspired by the percussion from Homestuck Anthem, and a little bit of Flair too, but mostly Homestuck Anthem. I was trying to capture that feel, except make it a little bit more dark.
Yeah, I think it worked really well.
What are you doing, macOS? It's getting my desktops all mixed up.
I'm really embarrassed by the way I'm talking on this commentary.
It's okay.
Why?
You're doing a fine job.
I'm probably coming off like a huge jerk or something.
No,
oh wait, hold on. Gate,
yeah,
gate
here's,
four.
Here's gate four. Which is, it's getting a little bit more
intense.
Yeah, yeah. The with the advent of the heavier, slightly heavier drums and the pretty bright sounding piano.
I also think that the
melodic lines are a bit more complex than they've been previously.
Yeah, that,
as well.
That too. Well, actually, it's gaining melodic lines, which it didn't really have before.
Yeah, exactly. That's a fair point.
And yeah, it keeps building up melodically. Although, actually, interestingly enough, the gate six doesn't have much of a melody. I don't know. It's got some.
I would say that the violins have a bit of melody.
It's got some melodic rhythmic parts, but they don't really come off as a main melody, I don't think. But it works well and it fits. So anyway, the idea is that you basically just kind of, you know, when you start building, there's this huge daunting task ahead of you. You have to build all the way to Skya, basically. And then, as you continue, you know, Harmonizer and I tried to capture the feeling that you might be feeling during those individual sections of building. For instance, on gate 4, you're right in the thick of it, and it's got a driving beat, and it's sort of perpetuating. Ah, right, here we go. This is gate 5.
It's really the melodic sound font. It's nice. It's got a harpsichord, like a kind of feel to it.
Yes, it's so good.
Funny, this harpsichord is actually entirely it's a modeled harpsichord from ImageLine's Sakura plugin.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't know Sakura has that.
Yeah, they do all kinds of string related stuff, whether it's plucked, mallet hit, or
do they have guitars?
Yes, there are some guitars in it too.
Are they good guitars, though?
I don't remember, actually. It's been a long time since I've used it.
I don't really think it matters, though, because I don't actually own Sakura.
Yeah. Yeah, this... The percussion in here is very heavily bit-crushed. That's how I got a lot of the distorted sounds. But what's really interesting is that you'll hear some sort of almost steam-like sounds. And those are actually bit-crushed cymbals that... I slathered reverb on, and I was really, really intrigued by the effect that I got of them basically sounding like steam, except electronic steam, I guess.
Speaking of sounds, why don't you talk about your land, Mark, which is the album art?
Yes, it's the land of beats and stirring sonar, which of course is a pun because low bass. But
yeah, all our lands are music puns.
Yeah,
mine is Loctive, which is land of colossal towers and vast emptiness. Yeah, it's really dumb.
Now here's gate 6. This was actually the final gate theme that I wrote.
Yeah.
And all of my gate themes except for this one, the ones that I did, were written in FL Studio, but then I switched back to Logic between while I was working on this, and so I ended up just making this a little bit in Logic, which is why it sounds significantly different, I think, in production style.
It sounds better.
Yeah, it does.
But then again, Logic doesn't like kill your a computer like FL Studio did.
That's true. Yeah, I've got a new MacBook, and suddenly my computer's powerful again, and I can make music well. Plus, my production skills have improved significantly since I made most of this. You'll notice kind of a disconnect between some of my stuff in here because these songs were made over such a long period of time. Well, you know, over the course of a year, and I've improved so much that especially some of the later stuff on this album that I've done,
the best song that you made.
Yeah.
Well, I was gonna say Ultimate Riddle, but yeah, Emerald Icarus.
But yeah, I was gonna say the album art here is of the low bass skyline with this huge colossal house sort of leaning up into the sky. My friend Alistair drew this, and I think he captured it wonderfully. Right, so this is Gate 7. This is Gate 7 in Mizuno is the one that I wrote first, and it's absolutely the most melodic of them all.
Yeah. That sounds really good, though.
What I'd like to point out is that if you listen to Waiting for Adventure by Bowman, our first song on the album, you may recognize... Well, no, if you listen to this, you'll recognize the melody from that coming up in the trumpet part right here. Which I decided to quote.
Wait, is that it right there?
Yeah, the trumpet part. It's the melody from Waiting for Adventure.
Yeah.
And I was really happy to see how well it fit in with the rest of the song. I think I'm really proud of this Gate 7 bit, because I think it really, really captures the fact that you're on the home stretch, basically.
This is so good. That's basically all I'm saying now.
Fair enough.
I can really see a flash of, like, you know, when you can see, like, a lot of action happening to something. Mm-hmm. I can see it to this seventh gate. Like,
yeah. It sounds really triumphant.
Definitely. Yeah. That's why I put in the trumpet part there. All right, here we go. Strife.
Oh, yeah. It's the song by James Groat. Hey.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, I actually, I've heard people say they're not a fan of this. I like it.
I think this is a pretty great song. I mean,
yeah, it sounds great.
You know, it could,
it's groovy.
It could benefit from some production.
Let's not really get into that, though. We're not here to talk about that.
We're not here to talk about what we could have done better. We're here to talk about how great this whole album is, because
yeah,
it is great.
We're not here to critique it. That's for the viewers. I mean, listeners, whatever.
So let's see, what did we do for this anyway? What did we do with the art? Right, this art was by Zelenios, who is a fantastic artist. I'm really happy that she contributed to this.
Zelenios is so talented. How many other tracks does she do, art-wise?
I don't remember. She's done a few. I don't know.
I think she did, like, two, maybe.
Two or three. I know she was involved in the one... No, actually, she wasn't gonna. She didn't do the Black King art, because she was going to, but then
some
stuff happened.
Yeah.
And she couldn't, so we got
Evan did the art for.
We got Evan Scheimuffin to do it, and it turned out awesome.
And it came. Yes, I know. I loved it. I love what Brad did and made the GIF for the Black King dancing. That was great.
I don't think I ever saw that.
It's good.
Yeah.
It's the best art ever.
But yeah, that Obama poster. The art for this one was by Zelenios, and she drew James fighting some imps and with some owls in the background, which I guess are his
consorts. He must be in my world, because my world's got all the owls and stuff.
Yeah, probably.
Yes.
And he must be using the Black Queen's lance, because that's just like it.
Lance. And he's actually got a lance and a shield there.
Yeah, he must have lance time and shield time.
Like, just
he looks, you know, James looks pretty badass in the picture, actually.
Yes, he does. Now, the art for this album is, I don't know, I'm really, really satisfied with the job that all of our artists did.
All the art for this entire album is perfect in every way.
Pretty much.
I mean, I can't think of a single art that looks... No, I really can't think of any art that would look, like, bad in this album. Everything looks amazing.
Anyway, this is the generic Strife theme. That's about all there is to it.
Yeah, it's what it plays when you're kicking ass and taking names.
Exactly.
Yeah. Oh, hell.
That wasn't part of the song. That was some background noise.
Maybe it's like, it's the Strife theme that plays when you, like, do the default settings on Suburb instead of, like, inputting your own character name or something.
Sure. Actually, I like to think that that Suburb would have some, like, custom music options.
Yeah.
So if you didn't like what we did for it, you could input your own.
Yeah, and you know there's going to be some people out there. I'm just kidding.
But of course, since this is just the generic Strife theme, this is just for when you're strifing with imps and such.
It's important to note that this is just for, like, underlings and stuff. And basilisks, I'm assuming, too.
Yeah. We've got some great stuff for,
Wait, guys, the next song's coming up.
Other types of strife. This is Mysterious Messengers, the Exiles theme.
Oh, that guitar is... What? No, that not
this
guitar.
This is Trigun. Anyone seen Trigun around recently, actually?
No, I haven't, actually.
Kind of been MIA for a while. But this stuff is really good.
Yeah, this one's by Trigun.
This is the theme for the Exiles.
Yes, it is.
Yep.
It has that real Wanderer's vibe to it, which I love.
Yeah, I really love the composition on this one.
All of Trigun's tracks are really good on this album, though.
Definitely true.
And for the art for it, it's by Vero, I believe. We see an exile, who is unnamed for now, looking at a book-shaped thing. Like terminal. Yeah, that's it. Book-shaped terminal.
Book-shaped... No, well, it's not a terminal, because the terminal's inside.
Right.
What do they call those things? Those structures that the exiles go inside of to talk to kids.
Yeah. What should we call the exile, anyways?
I don't know. We'll have to make that discussion later.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I find it funny that this facility it depicted here is book shaped because
they're all supposed to fly in some way, aren't they?
Yes, they all have to be able to fly.
Books can fly.
Maybe it fires out a rainbow and then the Reading Rainbow theme plays. Man, this composition really is good.
And it's also book-shaped because that was my entry item.
Yes.
Yeah. Wait.
Because I think at the time I was the only one that had an entry item.
But then that wouldn't be your terminal.
No, it's not my terminal. But
right,
it's my entry
item.
I
thought we were saying it was your terminal. No, it would be whoever your client was.
I'm pretty sure we made Trigun mine because that was it was his thing, so his client.
Yeah, pretty much.
And then later on I go to his world, which would make sense.
Oh, wait.
All right, what
do
we got now?
Here we got Red Pen.
Yes, Red Pen with the...
Overly Ostentatious Ogre.
Yes. Basically, it's a mini-boss theme. Probably for ogre battles.
This has a really nice composition.
Actually, I'm not sure I've ever heard this one.
It was on Tindeck.
I didn't hear it until I downloaded the album there.
The entire thing, like, both of her tracks were on Tindeck. The entire time.
Oh, I know they were up. I guess I never heard them. She wasn't really around for most of our discussions, so...
Well, she can't use Skype.
Yeah.
Yeah, Vape Pen doesn't use Skype.
But anyway, the art here is by Tawa.
Really? This is by Tawa?
Yeah, she is great at drawing muscular men.
Didn't Kate take over? I can't remember.
Tawa
did the initial sketch,
she did the
thing,
line
and then
art.
Kate took the rest.
And Kate did the coloring.
And, Yeah. The cool thing about Red Pen's tracks are, she basically just uses, GarageBand sounds, but they sound really good.
Oh, GarageBand's actually a lot better than most people give it credit for.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's obvious, but, the way that, Thomas Ferkel uses his stuff, but... Mm-hmm.
As well
not
as,
everyone can make it sound good.
Brad, also.
Yeah, Brad, too. Like, we'll hear later.
Yes.
That build up at the end is good.
Oh, oh dear, it's me.
The longest drum roll.
Yeah.
The Pork Hollow is overflowing.
Yeah. What else is there to say about this song? It's really good, and it makes me feel like dancing.
Victory theme.
Yeah, there's a dog, but that's what I was to say about it.
Oh, wait,
that's
know.
Why, that's why John dances whenever he levels up.
Because this plays. The art for this is great, too.
Yeah.
By Toe, who's really, really great at coloring.
Mm. I mean, Toe was struggling to figure out what exactly to draw, and I said, well, you could just draw, like, a Paul Carlo with a Nesha ladder coming out the top. That's what happened. I mean, the other thing, I'm pretty sure I mentioned it in the commentary, is that the drum roll at the start is just meant to play until you reach the specific rung of the Escher ladder, and then it plays, like, the theme until you press A to continue.
So if you tag along with someone who's way higher above you in the Escher ladder, and you, like, help a little bit taking down a giant boss, then the drum roll would just play for, like, a few minutes. It's
just
going
keeps rolling.
Yeah.
Alright, so now we have Consort Air, which is a pun.
Consort
because name. Con Air.
Yeah, Con Air. Everyone loves Con Air except John.
Wait, are you guys just making fun of the name?
Yeah, basically.
Consort Air.
Yeah. Yeah, it's called
but
Consort Air because. It's
who
a
made
pun
the song?
Con Air.
Wasn't it, Rainer?
What?
Yeah.
The song for this? Yeah. This.
No, it's Brad.
This was Avenue.
Oh yeah, it was Brad. Yeah.
I thought Brad teamed up with Rainer.
Yeah,
on
he
this
did.
One, but
it was both of them.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he says in the commentary that Rainer helped him out with.
This is basically it's a theme for meeting your consorts or talking to them, I guess.
So, about the art. The art is by it's by Carrie, aka 8-Bit Kitten. Right?
Kitten Burrito on Tumblr, yep.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, 8-Bit, I'm totally lost.
All these usernames.
Yeah, so many usernames. But anyways, what's interesting to note is that the consorts are all the artists. Well, most of the artists.
Some of them.
Yeah, some of the artists.
Yeah, the consorts are basically designed after the artists. Well, we actually had the artists design their own consorts.
Like, Essa is a cow. Yeah. Oh, now we got James' song.
Yes, this is Free Motif Samba. And, of course, the art here is by Essa. It depicts James shopping at a Zelda-style Free Motif shop. It's got a heart piece on the shelf back there.
And
well
a bandana.
I
love all the references.
Yeah.
The little sort of subtle things.
Yeah, Essa's really good at that. She's good at background details.
There's a freaking Triforce up there. You guys notice?
Yeah.
I didn't even notice that. I thought that was just like a party hat and like
nope.
James' head.
James has a Triforce behind his head.
It's a party hat, yeah.
Yeah. Well, no, the only person wearing a party hat later on is Jack, so.
Yeah.
Oh, and the king. Doesn't
okay,
the king
yeah, and the king. The king
well,
does too.
The black king wears a party hat because Koneko prototyped Party Cat.
hey, it's party time.
Yeah, it's always party time.
It's always party time when you're with Party Cat.
But yeah, what else is there to say about the song? It's really good. It's pretty solid compositionally.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's really long though, I think.
Well, it's supposed to loop. But
It does loop, but I think it loops for a little bit too long. But yeah, whatever.
We're not even halfway done, are we?
I really like it just because it just has that sort of shop vibe, you know? It's like one of those like little jingle things that you'd hear in like an elevator
it's definitely
it's like the Zelda shop theme.
Yeah, yeah.
Definitely elevator music quality. or caliber, that is.
I would ride in an elevator with this.
I can't tell
oh, me too.
Mark, I can't tell if that was an insult or not.
No, it wasn't. I didn't mean to say quality. I corrected myself and said caliber.
Okay, yeah, there we go.
James has a fantastic grasp of music theory, and he can compose anything.
He actually pretty much can. I mean, he's trying a lot more new stuff lately.
Mm.
Well, sorta. Look, he's good at what he does.
Definitely. da, 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 da. Yeah.
Here we go. Here we go. Here we go.
Best song. The best song. Best song.
Waking the Beast. Denizen Encounter theme.
Wait, we
this
need
song
to be quiet.
Way too
intro.
Good. Okay, can't forget to say that.
By Nucleos and Silence. Oh,
the
yes,
best combination.
This
Dream
is another.
Team.
This
yeah,
is
they won Slam Jam, so.
Yeah, they, for.
Yeah, they earned it. They're a really good combo, let's just say that.
Silence's production is always top notch.
Oh my god. Everything about this song is just perfect.
It's important to note that this is just encountering a denizen. It's just like
yeah,
seeing them, all of them.
Yeah, I mean, I wonder what the fight theme is going to sound like.
I
oh,
wonder.
Man.
I just... And the art is great, too.
Yes.
Yeah, who's... Isn't the art by,
I said it's by Zelenios.
Oh, I didn't hear you, sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure everyone else did, and now they're just like, why is that idiot asking who it's by?
No, I don't think anybody heard me, actually.
Oh, never mind. Forget what I said.
She is great at coloring, too. Yeah. Man, can we talk about this composition?
It's so beautiful. It reminds me a lot of Zelda.
Yeah.
But I mean that in, like, a really good way.
Or Fire Emblem.
Yeah, Fire Emblem. I haven't actually thought of that bad. Which Fire Emblem, though? Just in general?
My experience of Fire Emblem music is just the ones in the Brawl soundtrack at the moment, because I'm a horrible person. And I
me too, me
so
too.
Hey, Fire Emblem is, like, hardly ever released in America, so...
Yeah, they like, release Sacred Sword, I think, and that's about it. Like, a couple more...
I just realized I never heard this song the entire way through.
Really?
You're
missing out, dude.
I think I only heard like up to the halfway point, and then that was all the sound I ever heard because it was only a whip. I never heard the full version.
It's so good. Like this piano, I'm gonna... it's so nice.
This is really beautiful.
I wish I could play piano like this.
No, you can, though.
Someday. I probably just with practice.
But you made Carcinoware. That's really good.
Yeah, Carcinoware's...
Oh, come on. Very, you're like the best person who ever uses black in songs.
Black.
Oh,
Liquid
black.
Negrosity.
Yep.
You and I go way back. I swear, I don't have a song that
funny,
doesn't use
funny
it.
Story.
Some, like,
I was talking with Toby, like, over a year ago, and he was just sitting down talking about how much, like, he was talking about how when he first made Liquid Negrosity, he was trying, like, he wasn't trying at all, he was just trying to make something really stupid, and then he put it out, and people liked it, and he was like, oh, I guess I better go make it sound good then, and that was the origin of Black.
Yeah.
So wait.
Look at that. Look at that. We're dropping fact bits right here.
Yeah. Wait, speaking of other fact bits, you said that there's not a song you don't use black in. There's also like hardly any songs where you don't use mallets in, because you love mallets.
Mallets are beautiful.
Well, yeah, pretty much.
Yes.
Mallets or piano. Like, it's one of the two. It's either mallets or piano, I would say.
I think there's only like three songs, maybe two, in this entire album that Scott put out that don't have mallets in one way or the other.
Or percussion, I think.
Yeah, and I think two of them are like, the,
yeah.
I think two of them are the sleep themes, so those don't really
sleep
count.
Themes are both just, yeah. Is
the third one Metamorphic Choices?
Well, he uses chiptune mallets.
Chiptune mallets.
Chiptune mallets. That's an interesting concept. Oh, what have we got next?
What? The save theme. Glow in the Distance.
Oh, glow in the Distance.
Another one by James. And I actually really like this one.
With art by Melodious Discord.
Oh man, Kadrian. You're really good at art.
Yeah, Kadrian really outdid himself with this one.
I mean, look at that Suburb logo. Just look at it.
Oh yeah, funny story. I forgot to mention when we were doing the... when we were talking about... Ignorance is Bliss. But you can see in that song, actually in a lot of our art, we've got a special Spurb logo with 20, 20 squares for 20 session players, because we have a lot of musicians.
Wait, Mark, scroll down to Higher Hopes for a second.
What'd you say?
Scroll down to Higher Hopes, the art for Higher Hopes.
Where is that? Yeah, I'm live streaming it right now, so everybody can hear and also see my desktop screen. So, I don't know, where's Higher Hopes in here?
Because you can see it on
it's
the door.
Down near the bottom,
wanted,
I'm pretty sure.
I wanted to show that, like, you can see it on the door, too.
Right, yeah. Yeah, Mixed put it on the door there. We'll get to that later.
There it is,
yeah.
Wait.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is one really convoluted logo, man.
Yeah.
I kind of oversaturated.
We live streaming it, but no one's watching.
Yeah. Scott,
well, we're live streaming it, but
you have, like,
only
wait,
you guys are watching.
Viewing this out. Oh, wait,
because no one else knows I'm streaming.
It's secret.
The secret stream.
Too bad, guys. Around 11:17 p.m. on Friday, November 6, 2012, in Eastern Time, you could have been listening to the Spurb OST before it released. But sorry, I didn't say anything about it.
But it's actually a pretty good thing that they're not listening to it, because this version doesn't have the intro tracks.
Yeah. Yes, we're going to have...
Wait, sleep theme.
Yeah.
It's so short, we can't miss it.
That was by Scott.
And here comes the best
theme. That was the Prospect sleep theme. Here we go.
On Golden Dreams.
Yeah, now we're on Prospect.
This is beautiful.
So this is our Prospect theme by Scott also.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was really proud of this, but I feel like it's a bit dated now.
It's not. It lives forever. Just like Prospect. Oh, wait.
Oh, wait.
Must be good.
I really like the... Because we sort of like... Because Lulling Lutescent is so short. I really like the art for Lulling Lutescent and Lavender Lullaby.
Yeah,
just
there's a really...
duality of them.
It's really cool because they're basically just mirror images of each other. Except...
Yeah.
Colored differently.
Yeah, in different colors.
Yeah. That was a good idea to name them both L songs.
Yeah. I was like...
Lullaby.
L...
I need to tell you that I'm L. Death Note joke.
Yeah, because I was like, well, I think I'm pretty sure I wrote Lavender Lullaby first because Kaneko had just finished writing Planet in Shadow, and I quoted like the tiniest snippet I could from it. Like, legitimate, it does reference Planet in Shadow.
Yeah.
Just slightly, literally just like one bit. Yeah, just ever so slightly. I stole. Just one little section of your melody.
It just quotes, like, one note.
Nah, he does quote, like, a small section of the melody just after sort of the bit where you transition into another section. I can't remember. Anyway. But then I was like, okay, I'm going to call this one Lavender Lullaby. Starts with LL. Okay. Yeah. What can I find that relates to yellow that's L?
And then you got
Lutescent!
Yes! Makes perfect sense.
This is my favorite part of On Golden Dreams. Is
the guitar
where I intersect.
Did the guitar already come in?
No.
No. That's at the end. This is my favorite
part.
Bit. Because what it does is it mixes the theme of On Golden Dreams with the Prospect Sleep theme into like, it's just good. It's got so much going on, and I'm really proud of it. It's probably one of the best things.
Yeah, Barry, you're really good at. You're very good at writing jingles. Boom. Game pun into this commentary because it needed one.
Yeah. Remember that puns? Remember those puns?
Oh, God.
Pun times,
we had, like,
they were.
We had all the pun wars on Spurb OST chat.
Those were the worst.
No, I think you mean those were the best.
Oh, come on.
Remember the one I said after Cascade? The mayor may not survive.
Damn it.
Now we're in the queen's room. I always liked the idea of having sort of like themes for specific areas and
yeah, it's kind of like a, going on a tour. Of...
Yeah.
Oh man, I just realized we never talked about the art for Waiting for Adventure.
Yeah, we didn't. The art for Waiting for Adventure is
yeah,
by
Tavia did that. It was
the lovely
like a
Tavia
sort of
Mora.
Pixel type thing.
And she's great. And she did a really interesting extrapolation from the swerve loading screen we see in Homestuck. This one looks a lot more polished, I guess.
It looks like Art Deco, sort of.
Yeah.
What about the art for On Golden Dreams?
Art for On Golden Dreams, let's see.
I'm just
that
tying up all the loose ends.
It was by Invalid Griffin.
Yes.
Yeah, I really liked it. Pretty like. Cool. When I saw it, it's got nice muted tones. I think it's sort of
Scott. You look pretty cool standing up there in Prospect.
I like the. Oh, here we go. here's the exciting part.
Everyone's preparing for war. guitar.
You know, I got Thomas Fergal to record some guitar for this, and it's still not in there.
I can't remember if I used it or not, because I remember that I don't think it had the glissando down, and I really wanted the glissando, and I was going to get Eidan to re-record it, but we didn't get time, and then I just forgot about it.
Oh well. It still sounds really good.
I mean, we could still put that together. We still got a little bit of time.
Maybe. We'll see.
Think about it. This might be an unfinished version of the song in that case.
Then you got a minor key sounding version of the Prospect theme. I wonder where we'll fill that again.
Yes, I wonder where it will appear again.
But hey, I was going to say
it appears
about
in a terrible song.
No, it doesn't.
I like the contrast between the rather... I don't know. We've got some really yellow... Really, really deep yellow tones on Lonely Mutescent.
Oh, wait, this song. This is so good.
This is the Prospect Dignitaries theme.
It's like for the White King and White Queen and PM and stuff.
This one's by...
Let's do the Prospect Dignitaries guys.
This is by Rainer, and I think Rainer. Also Brad, or is it just Rainer?
Yeah. No, it is Rainer by the looks of it.
Yeah. Okay.
He did such
this
a
one...
great job with this.
It kind of reminds me of Donkey Kong, sort of.
Reminds me a little bit of Assassin's Creed, actually.
Yeah, I guess you can hear that, too. It has that sort of Middle Eastern vibe. Wait, the first Assassin's Creed, or like...
I've only ever played Assassin's Creed 2.
Oh. Oh, I guess I'm dumb, then.
There's an Assassin's Creed 1?
There is?
Yeah, right.
Who knew?
Yes, there's an Assassin's Creed 1.
No, but there are some elements of the song that kind of remind me of Assassin's Creed, mainly the string instruments, like the guitar type instruments.
The woodwinds kind of remind me of I can't think of the word. I guess I want to say Bastion, but I know that's not right. Cause it. Yeah. I guess I'm probably wrong there. Whatever, it sounds really good. Who did
I
the art for this one?
Oh, the art for this one was by Kate also.
Oh yeah, Felicia's artist.
Because, remember? Because it was, like, strange fortuitous circumstance that Kate and Raina worked with together again after having worked on a previous project. They didn't realize until...
That was really cool.
A bit later, because they were going under different names. Taranon.
That was really cool.
Alright.
Good song.
So here we have Grudge in A Minor by Koneko.
Really good song.
With art by Melodious Discord.
And it's Jack looking really pissed. What's new?
Yeah, because I put a tapped party cat, and then Kadrian basically drew everyone except Jack having a party, and Jack just being pissed off at the party.
And Kanaka, you want to go into detail about the song? Because you had some really good ideas for this.
Yeah, the thing is, most of that's covered in the booklet. Basically, I had this idea, like this hate can of Jack basically being this really grumpy old man type person.
He's the Grinch, basically.
Yeah, he's basically the Grinch because he's stuck in a dead-end job and he hates his employers, but he can't do anything about it. The kids' session one is probably an exception because, I mean, he gets a ring. That's not usually supposed to happen. Which is why he gets back. But
well, okay, in the other one,
be that crazy.
In the Scrub session, he also got away with it because he got to exile the queen.
Yeah.
Even though it ended up not working out well for him at the end.
Yeah. But then, that Jack's team isn't exactly black, I'd say. It's probably...
It's Dead Shuffle.
I don't know. Is it Dead Shuffle?
Flair? Flair?
Eh.
Isn't that Jack's theme's Flair?
Oh no, his theme is... No, it's Spade Slick. I thought it was 3 in the morning.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
3 in the morning snowmans, though.
Yeah, yeah.
I thought 3 in the morning... I know, I thought Jade Dragon was snowman.
Who knows? Themes, music, yeah, they do things.
Well, who knows? Yeah.
Do you want to talk about why this isn't jazz?
Yeah, it isn't jazz.
Yeah, pretty much what the reasons they already made. I decided to make it funeral march. I was listening to Chopin's funeral march at the time, and I was like, yeah, why not? So,
yeah, you know, the reason that jazz is associated with the Dursites most of the time is because of the Midnight Crew. But of course,
yeah,
these guys aren't the Midnight Crew. They have the potential to become the Midnight Crew, but... You know, right off the bat, they're not. And they may never be.
Well, then again, jazz is associated with Dursites, but not all Dursites are associated with jazz, as seen with WB.
Yeah, that seems to work out pretty well. I mean, even among the Dursites, Jack's probably an exception, because he's the only one who's like, wow, screw this place.
This song reminds me of, It reminds me of the Plants vs. Zombie soundtrack.
You know, I haven't actually heard the Plants vs. Zombies soundtrack.
You should, it's really good. By, like, Laura Sugihara, I think.
Yeah.
I'm probably not pronouncing that correctly.
Sugihara. Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty much all I would say about Clutch, I think. Not much to be said here.
It's a good song, though.
Thank.
And with that, we're gonna fully transition into Durst.
Yeah, see, I picked out the Durst songs because Durst is great and all you frosted babies can suck it.
Yeah. So and here we go, the second lullaby theme.
Also with art by Phosphorescence. Just like Lully Lutescent.
Well, yeah, it's the same as the Phosphate one.
Mm-hmm.
Except flipped.
Oh, here we go, Planet in Shadow.
Yeah, Planet in Shadow.
I love this.
This is like, I think this is basically my best song on this album.
No, Endgame.
That's debatable. Out of all my songs, this is my personal favorite of all the songs on this album. Yeah, I don't know, it just works. The first part I actually wrote for the song was the piano solo. It comes in on somewhere in the middle.
Yeah, yeah.
Interestingly, that's like literally what the first thing I wrote for the song. And then I tacked on this weird disorienting thing in 5/4 at the front because, I mean, for a player who just woke up on Durst for the first time, it's not likely to know what's going on. He's just going to be like, why is
everything purple?
Why am I on, like, where is this place? You know what I mean?
Why am I wearing pajamas?
Yeah, why am I wearing pajamas? I don't remember wearing these pajamas.
Did someone put jelly on this hot god?
There's jelly everywhere.
Who's the art by? I forgot.
It was by Neon Face.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
This piano part.
She kind of.
Yeah. I love this piano solo.
After a while.
It's really good. It's one of the best piano things I've ever written.
kind of changed. Pretty sure.
Yeah.
When the percussion starts to kick in and starts getting really intense, that's great.
This is basically like the sweeping vista of the kind of feeling, I guess.
It's like you fly up and you look over Durus and you're like, damn, this is cool.
Yeah, pretty much.
This bit here sounds very reminiscent of some of the stuff that Jeremy did for his Prosper and Durus album.
Like, really?
Just the, mainly the bass. Kind of, well, I can't recall what exactly, which song it was, but there was a Durst song.
Obsidian Towers?
Might have been.
Because I remember, like, most of the Durst songs on Prospect and Durst were, like, D&B based.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were a lot more electronic than the Prospect ones, at least. Mm.
Yeah.
I love the piano part here.
Yeah, I know, I just love the piano in this song.
I love that backing up electronic part. And the synth in the background, I love that.
Mm. It sort of wavers a little.
Yes. You use that in your solo album, right?
Yeah, I like to use that sound a lot. It's sort of evolving sound, I guess. Like, it starts off and then just kind of peaks and disappears. I really like that effect. Unfortunately, I did that with a synth that is no longer compatible with Reaper for some reason. So, I've had to try and replicate it in FM8 with limited, well, not really limited success. I'm getting better at FM8, so like,
well, yeah. Eventually, you're gonna be able to switch to a different thing other than Reaper, and then,
yeah.
I mean, unless you want to stick with Reaper,
I'm probably gonna stick with Reaper for a bit until I get the Bitwig invite.
Bitwig.
The thing with Bitwig is, like, I know that Ohm Studio, which is a similar project, is going to have subscription fees. And
it is.
Yeah, so I'm hoping that Bitwig will just be a one-time purchase.
Me too. Did anyone else here get the demo?
Nah. Bitwig? No.
Oh, I was hoping, like, someone here got the beta so we could talk about it.
Yeah, I was hoping for that, but that never happened. So
yeah, I never got the beta either. That really sucks.
I think we're into the second piano section now. Yeah. I had the first piano section with a lot more reverb than the second one, pretty much. Just cranked up the reverb. So, this is like the clean version of it.
Yeah.
I'm not super sure what I was trying to go with that. I think I was trying to, like, the first one was like this, kind of, you're really high up and just looking down on dirt, and then this one you're kind of flying through the streets or something. I don't know. Whatever, and then there's a flute. I probably should have actually played the flute for that instead of using samples, but whatever. You know.
You did Drolls and Dignitaries too, didn't you?
Yeah, you did.
Yeah.
All right,
and
here
comes that here comes the jazz for the Dursites.
Yeah, this is the jazz song.
Here come the jazz.
I don't know why, but that bass in the beginning really reminds me of Earthbound. And I know it's not, but I know it's not even close to being inspired by it. It just does for some reason.
Yeah.
Okay, so
Drolls and Dignitaries is one of those songs I actually had to do two passes on. Like, the first time I tried to write it, it didn't come out right. And I was like, yeah, I'm going to redo this song. So, like the middle, the faster section, that's actually, like, that's the first pass of the song, actually. I just kind of grabbed the whole thing and junked it over there for sale. Because I could.
So the art in this one was by Selan Pike, who I think did a really, really nice job just in general.
Yeah, this is really good. Look at that time stroke. Look at that dude. Cool dude. It's the Pike.
I think one of my favorite things about the art she did is firstly her use of gradients, but secondly the fact that she did, like, sort of a lineless version of Andrew's style with his sprites that he does for Homestuck.
Yeah.
Yeah, it all turned out really nicely.
What were the other ones that she did?
Let me see. Hold on. So she did Drolls and Dignitaries. She did Hold on. I'm in the Google Doc right now.
Google Docking it up.
She did art for the Forge theme. And she did the art
I love the art for Forge.
For the Alchemiter theme.
Oh, right. The melody.
Oh, the Vicho type menu thing. Mm-hmm.
This trumpet here, this muted trumpet, reminds me so much of this Wacky Races game I used to play when I was younger.
This what?
Wacky Races.
Wacky Races, yeah. It's that old Hanna-Barbera cartoon.
Oh.
This is probably a America thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess that doesn't know something about it all.
You and your being from Singapore.
Heh.
Unforgivable.
What? Yeah, this part, this entire part is basically the first part of this song.
Mm.
I like this part, though.
You did a really great job with the piano, especially.
Yeah, piano, I mean, when I do jazz or swing type things, I tend to start with piano because it's just easier. Mm. I don't know.
Well, I mean, it's the thing is that later on when we get to the castle theme, that's how I started. I started by writing that piano part that plays halfway through and building the song around that. But I'll talk about that later. You have such a way with that bass line, Con.
Yeah. It's actually based off one of my unreleased tracks where I did, I just basically did the same with the bass. It was practically like an improvised bass type song. It was pretty good, but the production sucked, so I never released it. Maybe I'll remake it at some point in the future.
You should, and you should put it on Jazz and Masks.
Mm-hmm.
Is it a bonus song?
Nah, I have other plans for that currently, so...
Is Jazz and Masks... Wait, is Jazz and Masks... Is that still OST stuff related, or are you just, like, branching off with it?
Oh, yeah, it's actually its own thing now, but I'm thinking of incorporating elements of the story into OST stuff.
Yeah.
Like, after I finish Masks.
Yeah, I have a feeling that it's... It's a similar idea to what I'm doing with Calculated Technique, which is going to be a whole bunch of chip tunes representing things that I think would happen in on LoFam, Land of FX and Melody.
So how do you guys really do improvisation with songs? I mean,
do you know that one? Jazz. I would be.
I'm just asking how you guys do it in general, not like, I mean, you specifically, how you do it. Because I sort of improv my own way, but I want to hear how other people do it.
Improv how? Like,
you know that,
like...
that one comic Shuna made where it was like beep boop music. Yeah, that's pretty much my entire process.
Okay.
Alright, so here we go. Here's the ultimate riddle, which is a song that I made.
And it's really good, and suddenly we're in Metroid Prime.
This one has a long story attached to it. Well, I don't know how long necessarily it'll end up being, but basically, I started out wanting to make something ambient, sort of. It was supposed to be sort of a theme for, like, you can't go here quite yet. You know, if you reach a sort of impasse where you're just kind of scouting around and looking around and you see, looks like I'm going to have to come back later once I've powered up or once I've learned a new ability.
It's like a beef gate.
Yeah, something like that. So I started off with this ambient thing, and then I wanted to transition into sort of a theme for gathering information about the ultimate riddle. Because basically, I can't remember what character said it, but there's a character in Homestuck that said, the ultimate riddle is the quest you go on.
It's Nana Sprite.
Right, Nana Sprite. So the ultimate riddle is the quest you'll go on. So I decided to make it sort of a theme, firstly, for explaining that you have to go on this quest in order to advance. Secondly, I wanted it to transition into more of a theme for actually going on that quest. And initially, when I first started making it, I had this interest in making dubstep, so I actually attempted to incorporate some dubstep into it, which actually started to work, surprisingly.
It sounded... You should have put that as a bonus track. The dubstep yeah. thing sounds really good.
No, but I didn't... I was...
I know, you deleted it.
I didn't delete it. I just saved a new version. But this... I was doing it in a pretty inefficient way anyway, and I will probably keep that scrapped forever. But, So I got rid of the dubstep part after a while, after realizing that, no, this isn't gonna work.
It sounded really cool, though.
It was well implemented, yeah. But ultimately, I gave up on that. So I got my new computer, and I kind of... I didn't stop using FL Studio altogether, but I started using Logic more often. So I thought, well, you know, I want to finalize this for this album. So I brought it into Logic, and I sat down thinking, what can I do with this? And I just started writing it out, and I ended up with this thing, as you can hear, there's some percussion coming in now.
Yeah, it's Metroid Prime sounding stuff.
Yeah, it ended up sounding very reminiscent of the Chozo Ruins theme from Metroid Prime, which...
That was a good thing.
That was a pretty huge piece of inspiration for me for this, actually. you know, I want to say I quite ripped it off, but I definitely copied it. conceptually. Another interesting thing about this song is that I composed it initially as a little piano piece, which I think we're attaching as a bonus track at the end of this. But you can sort of hear a melody in the background here. That's really subtly playing the melody I composed. But you won't really hear the melody in its entirety until we get to the end of this, where I had a little celesta come in. And I actually played that celesta part on my keyboard, and then just quantized it a little bit to make it very, like, you know, right in time. But it still has sort of a glissando effect going on in a lot of the notes. I think that starts right about here. Yeah, here it is.
Oh, it looks like the stream crashed for me.
Really? Try refreshing.
Yeah, just a flash crash, so I'm gonna restart.
Okay.
The terrors of working with the internet.
Oh, and the art for this was drawn by
Melodious Discord.
Melodious Discord, and
it's Mark looking at a bunch of crazy ass stuff on his planet.
Fun fact that you'll only know if you got this far in the commentary. the art here, or I don't know, it might be in the commentary booklet too. Whatever. There are some cracks in the wall with some holes. It's actually sort of a really vague depiction of the universe creation theme, like the sheet music for the main melody for it. Anyway.
And then we have the creepiest track.
Eldritch Murmurs. This one.
Done by Fuzz.
This one is by Fuzz with art by Vero. And
this is really good, though. I love it.
If you look really closely at the art, you can see a Sweet Girl and Hello Jeff face.
Stop making out, man.
What?
Stop making out.
What's happening?
We're not.
Okay.
God.
Bye.
That was also riveting.
What are you guys doing so long in here for?
What do you mean?
Hey, Kaneko, there's a lot of background noise going on there.
Why did they leave when I left?
Cool, that was when Jessica just got here. Oh, Jessica was like, oh, I don't want to walk back by myself.
You get to hear Kaneko's roommates, I guess.
Yeah, they are guest stars on the album commentary. Featuring door slamming and...
Sorry, guys, okay. My bad.
No, it's okay. You added into it, went well with the Horror Terrorist track. They're the Horror Terrorists.
What?
I like the little glissando sounds that he has in the background. Well, not glissando, glassy stuff.
Hmm.
Chime, wind chime things.
Yeah. It's a very intense piece.
Yes.
And then it leads us into... Wait, it's not over yet.
Wait, what was it?